Continuing now with Henrik Krueger's account of the Internationale Fascista. On its rolls are former SS agents, OAS terrorists, hatchet men for Portugal's dreaded secret police, the PIDE, terrorists from Spain's Fuerza Nueva, Argentine and Italian fascists, Cuban exiles, French gangsters from SAC, and former CIA agents hardened by terror campaigns in Operation 40, Guatemala, Brazil, and Argentina. Besides Carew, Internacional Fascista's militants have at various times numbered the Army for the Liberation of Portugal, or ELP, and its Agente Presse contingent under Yves Guérin-Sarac, the Italian Ordine Nuovo, led by Salvatore Francia and Pierluigi Concutelli, Spain's Guerrillas of Christ the King, the Asociación Anticomunista Iberica and Alianza Anticomunista Apostolica, or AAA, which is not to be confused by the Argentine AAA that is also represented in Internacional Fascista, and the Paladin Group. By the way, spellings Yves Guérin-Sarac, G-U-E, accent acute, R-I-N, hyphen S-E, acute, R-A-C, Salvatore Francia, F-R-A-N-C-I-A, and Pierluigi Concutelli, an individual we looked at in connection with the P2, and Stefano Della Chiai, who we're going to touch back on. Concutelli, C-O-N-C-U-T-E-L-L-I. Now, we're going to look specifically at the Paladin Mercenary Group, one of the central elements in Scorzani's Internationale Fascista. SS Colonel Scorzani was the kingpin of the Paladin group, of the Paladin Mercenary Group, until his death in 1975. Dr. Gerhard Hartmut von Schubert, formerly of Joseph Goebbels' propaganda ministry, was its operating manager. Headquartered in Albufera, Spain, its actual nerve centers were Scorzani's export-import offices and cover firm MC, located at a Madrid address shared with a front for the Spanish intelligence agency SCOE under Colonel Eduardo Blanco, and also an office of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency. Last couple of sentences again of the Paladin Mercenary Group. Dr. Gerhard Hartmut von Schubert, formerly of Joseph Goebbels' propaganda ministry, was its operating manager. Headquartered in Albufera, Spain, its actual nerve centers were Scorzani's export-import offices and cover firm MC, located at a Madrid address shared with a front for the Spanish intelligence agency SCOE under Colonel Eduardo Blanco, and also an office of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency. The cozy relationship of Spanish right-wing terrorists with U.S. and Spanish intelligence is further underlined by the SCOE's purchase in the mid-70s of Rebel's silenced M10 machine pistols, prior to which the ideal terrorist weapon had been unavailable in Europe. Shortly thereafter, the M10 turned up in the hands of Spanish and Italian terrorists. A melange of former OAS and SAC figures and West German rightist activists and mercenaries, Paladin joined terrorist actions in Europe, Africa, Latin America, and even Southeast Asia. Along with Italian fascists, Paladin is responsible for the 17th of December 1973 bombing of Rome's Fiumicino airport, which claimed 32 lives. On behalf of the Spanish government, Paladin kidnapped and murdered leaders of the Basque ETA, and in 1974 through 6 engineered some 50 bombings in Basque country. Paladin's bankrollers included Scorzani's weapons empire and Libyan head of state Muammar Gaddafi. The Scorzani-controlled World Armco, with main offices in Paris, was registered in the name of Paladin manager von Schubert. Upon the death of Scorzani in 1975, von Schubert moved to Argentina, but returned 6 months later to reorganize. And again, note the interrelationship here of U.S. intelligence, Spanish intelligence, Scorzani's Paladin mercenary group, whose operating head is Dr. Gerhard Hartmut von Schubert of Goebbels' propaganda ministry, the same propaganda ministry for which Werner Naumann worked, for which Eberhard Taubert and Alfred Gielen both worked. We looked at them in the Peter Dale Scott manuscripts. They were both key players in the WACCFL, the World Anti-Communist Congress for Freedom and Liberation. And note the evolution of these forces and their location in Spain in conjunction with U.S. intelligence. Continuing with Henrik Kruger's account, and of course, by the way, don't fail to note the presence of Muammar Gaddafi in this milieu. Internacional Fascista was a crucial first step toward fulfilling the dream not only of Skorzeny, but also of his close friends in Madrid exile, José López Rega, Juan Perón's Grey Eminence, and Prince Justo Valerio Borghese, the Italian fascist money man who had been rescued from execution at the hands of the World War II Italian resistance by future CIA counterintelligence whiz James J. Angleton. They and other Nazi and fascist powers throughout Europe and Latin America envisioned a new world order built on a fascist iron circle linking Buenos Aires, Santiago, Lima, La Paz, Brasilia, and Montevideo. Last few sentences again. Find a familiar echo here of one of George Bush's favorite phrases. Internacional Fascista was a crucial first step toward fulfilling the dream not only of Skorzeny, but also of his close friends in Madrid exile, José López Rega, Juan Perón's Grey Eminence, by the way, a member of the Argentinian branch of P2, and Prince Justo Valerio Borghese, the Italian fascist money man who had been rescued from execution at the hands of the World War II Italian resistance by future CIA counterintelligence whiz James J. Angleton. They and other Nazi and fascist powers throughout Europe and Latin America envisioned a new world order built on a fascist iron circle linking Buenos Aires, Santiago, Lima, La Paz, Brasilia, and Montevideo. Bear in mind, too, that we took a look at Justo Valerio Borghese, his 1970 coup attempt, its support by the CIA, the fascist program called the Strategy of Tension in numerous archive shows, Radio Free America show 19, the miscellaneous archive show about Operation Gladio being two of them. And note, a new world order built on a fascist iron circle linking Buenos Aires, Santiago, Lima, La Paz, Brasilia, and Montevideo. This new world order was an institution being aided by the CIA under George Bush in 1976. Skipping down and more about the Internacional Fascista, and again, note the basing in Spain of the Paladin Mercenary Group. Note the presence in this group of former Goebbels propaganda ministry official Gerhard Hartmut von Schubert and Otto Skorzeny, the coordinator of the post-World War II SS Underground. He's based in Spain, and again, I think we are seeing a chilling echo here of the evolution of this Nazi party in exile, as T.H. Tettens put it in 1961. We're looking at events in the mid-1970s, as reported by Henrik Kruger in 1980. And again, note the involvement of U.S. intelligence with this milieu, and in particular of the involvement of George Bush's CIA with many of the activities we're looking at here. Skipping down in Henrik Kruger's account, what we're going to look at now, by the way, is the habit of Internacional Fascista of camouflaging its acts of terror as acts of the left. And take a look at Operation Condor. Note Operation Condor very carefully, because we're going to come back to Operation Condor and Colonia Dignidad in Chile in just a couple of minutes. What has made sleuth work difficult is Internacional Fascista's attempts to camouflage itself as an arm of the left. When General Joaquin Zenteno Anaya, Bolivia's ambassador to France, was shot down in Paris in May of 1976, a caller to the police claimed the Che Guevara Brigade had murdered him to avenge the 1967 capture of Guevara in Bolivia. An eyewitness, moreover, claimed to have recognized the assailant as the infamous left-wing terrorist Carlos. However, 1 month later, the Nouvelle Observateur reported that the assassination had been planned at Madrid's Consulate Hotel by Bolivian intelligence agent Saavedra and three terrorists from the Paladin Group. Furthermore, inspection of Zenteno Anaya's politics revealed his opposition to Bolivian President Banzer and allegiance to ex-President Torres, whose murder in Argentina followed shortly after Zenteno's. Then, it was a turn of former Chilean Foreign Minister Orlando Letelier to be murdered by Chilean and Cuban terrorists in Washington, D.C., soon after which the establishment U.S. press, citing CIA and FBI sources, pointed the finger at the Chilean left. Last sentence again. Then, it was the turn of former Chilean Foreign Minister Orlando Letelier to be murdered by Chilean and Cuban terrorists in Washington, soon after which the establishment U.S. press, citing CIA and FBI sources, pointed the finger at the Chilean left. Continuing, by the way, we're going to take a look at George Bush's role in these events later on in the program. In connection with these assassinations, it's appropriate here to quote in its entirety a recent report entitled, quote, Latin America, Murder Incorporated, unquote. And again quoting, a still-classified staff report on, quote, questionable foreign intelligence operations, unquote, in the United States, prepared for the Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee on International Operations, shed some new light on cooperation and security matters between Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Paraguay, and Uruguay. According to the Senate report, which has been leaked to the press in the United States, the joint operation is known as Condor. The Senate report mentioned a Phase 3 of Operation Condor, which involved the formation of special teams to carry out, quote, sanctions, unquote, including the assassinations of the enemies of its constituent governments. The best-known killing of this type was the bomb attack on Orlando Letelier in September of 1976 in Washington. Condor's role in this emerged during the testimony of the FBI agent Bob Shearer, S-C-H-E-R-E-R, who investigated the case and gave evidence of the trial of Michael Townley. He testified to the use of Condor as the channel by which the Chilean DINA chief, General Manuel Contreras, tried to get U.S. visas for two of the agents involved. Quote, an impressive list of murders may now be laid at the door of Operation Condor. These include the killings of General Carlos Prats of Chile and Juan José Torres of Bolivia in Argentina, the Uruguayan politicians Hector Gutierrez Ruiz and Zelmar Michelini, also in Argentina, Bolivia's General Joaquin Centeno Anaya and Uruguay's Colonel Ramón Trabal in Paris, and the attempted assassination of the Chilean Senator Bernardo Leighton. Quote, the Senate report also disclosed that Condor had considered establishing its own operational base in Miami in 1974, but that this was headed off by a CIA protest, quote, through regular intelligence channels, unquote. In this case, the CIA informed the Chilean DINA of United States displeasure, and no Miami station was opened. According to the Senate report, the CIA concluded early in its investigation of the Letelier assassination that the murder might have been carried out as a third phase of Operation Condor. Last sentence again. According to the Senate report, the FBI concluded early in its investigation of the Letelier assassination that the murder might have been carried out as a third phase of Operation Condor, unquote. And again, quoting, presumably, quote, third phrase, unquote, will now go into the lexicon of euphemisms alongside the CIA's to terminate with extreme prejudice, unquote. The fact that the operation was well known to the United States at least 5 years ago makes nonsense of its shocked surprise at the time of Letelier's death. Now note again that the activities here, the Kourou program of terror, the functioning of the International Fascista, the World Service, Agente Press, Paladin Mercenary Group, the strategy of tension, much of it, in Italy. Many of these activities were conducted in conjunction with elements of U.S. intelligence while George Bush was head of the CIA. We've been looking at the evolution of the U.S. national security state, or elements thereof, and specifically, we've been taking a look at how it evolved as a function of and in conjunction with an international fascist milieu involving organizations like Kourou, the Orlando Bosch organization, to which we're going to return in a few minutes. And in particular, we've taken a look at the functioning of elements of our intelligence system, including factions of the CIA under George Bush, in conjunction with a worldwide fascist consortium. And note the presence of the Paladin Mercenary Group, Otto Skorzeny, Internationale Fascista, some of the Spanish-based elements that we spoke about obviously represent an evolution of the Nazi Party in exile that we looked at first in the projections of Kurt Ries in 1944. Then we took a look at it in The New Germany and the Old Nazis by T.H. Tettens in 1961, describing events in the 1950s. Now we're jumping up to a book published in 1980 about the evolution of many of these same forces in the 1960s and 70s. And bear in mind that the Henrik Krüger material concerning the Internationale Fascista we've looked at in numerous archive shows, Radio Free America number 3, Radio Free America program number 4, Radio Free America program number 22, took a look at it in Radio Free America shows 26, 27, and we came back to it with a vengeance, so to speak, in the long archive series dealing with the Iran-Contra scandal, in particular Radio Free America shows 29, 30, and 31. Bear in mind also Operation Condor, which was obviously a function of what Henrik Krüger referred to as this fascist iron circle, linking many of the fascist countries in Latin America with European fascists, and obviously these functions were coordinated in conjunction with elements of U.S. intelligence. By the way, the Italian strategy of tension, the Borghese coup, and the Italian link-ups of many of these same elements with not only the forces described by Henrik Krüger, but with U.S. intelligence, were again described in Radio Free America shows 17 through 21, dealing with the shooting of the Pope, and also the miscellaneous archive shows dealing with the fascist third position and with Operation Gladio. Remember in particular Operation Condor, because we are going to return right now, to Operation Condor and to the assassination of Orlando Letelier in Washington, D.C. And in particular, we're going to take a look at George Bush's functioning in connection with that when he was director of the CIA. Now, again, Operation Condor was this assassination consortium of Latin American countries. It functioned in connection with elements of U.S. intelligence, and as we're going to see, it intersects directly with the post-World War II SS Underground. Now, of Operation Condor and its direct connections to an SS colony in Chile called Colonia Dignidad, we're going to consult a book called Secrets of the SS. This book was authored by Glenn B. Infield, I-N-F-I-E-L-D. The book was published in hardcover by Stein and Day Publishers, and it was copyrighted 1981. And bear in mind, again, Operation Condor, of which the assassination of Orlando Letelier was part, and we're going to take a look at some of the sinister forces which connect up with this operation. And again, bear in mind the information that we looked at from Kurt Ries's The Nazis Go Underground, projecting not only that there would be a post-World War II Nazi underground, but that Latin America would be one of the major areas of its functioning in connection with Spain. We took a look at the Naumann Group, the Nazi Party in exile, and its evolution as part of a fascist international in the material from T.H. Tettens, The New Germany and the Old Nazis. We're going to take a look now at information which came to light in the 1980s, which give a chilling insight into the accuracy of the projections by Kurt Ries in 1944, and bear in mind that what we're looking at here is the evolution of the U.S. national security state in connection with these elements. And as we move right on up to the present, as we hit the ground running, so to speak, and we will finish this up next week, we're going to take a look at the effects on the United States of this particular milieu, and in particular the corruption of our democratic processes, the corruption of the press, the corruption of our judicial system, as a function of the need to cover up the activities that we're looking at in this particular section of RFA 37. Now, in the book Secrets of the SS, author Glenn Infield writes of Operation Condor as follows. When the prominent Chilean exile Orlando Letelier was brutally assassinated in Washington, D.C. in September of 1976, few investigators of the crime gave a thought to Hitler's SS at the time. when the American expatriate Michael Vernon Townley testified that he had wired Letelier's car with explosives on orders from the chief of Chile's secret police, General Juan Manuel Contreras, the assassination became a political bombshell in the United States. President Carter demanded that Contreras be extradited to the United States to stand trial, and when Chilean President Augusto Pinochet refused, the U.S. ambassador to Chile was recalled, pushing relations with Chile nearly to the breaking point. However, the CIA, FBI, and investigative agencies of other countries, as they delved deeper into the murder of Letelier, traced the plot back to a secret organization in South America called Operation Condor. Operation Condor, they discovered, is an intelligence-gathering organization that concentrates on leftists around the world, and especially those who were exiled from any of Condor's member countries, Argentina, Brazil, Bolivia, Uruguay, and Paraguay. According to a top-secret report issued by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Condor has special teams assigned to travel anywhere in the world to assassinate persons on the Condor, quote, hit list, unquote. It was then learned through further investigation that the headquarters of Condor was in Chile, and the organization worked very closely with the DINA, the Chilean secret police headed by Contreras. The trail then led to an enclave deep in the foothills of the Chilean Andes south of Santiago, an enclave known only as, quote, the colony, unquote, to outsiders, but officially named Colonia Dignidad, or Noble Colony, by the Chilean government. Regardless of what name it is called, the secret colony is actually a Nazi stronghold that is protected by the Chilean government and which works very closely with the DINA. Informed sources within the Chilean government state that one of the responsibilities of the ex-Gestapo and ex-SS officers at Colonia Dignidad is to demonstrate Nazi torture methods for the Chilean secret police and to instruct the DINA in such brutality. These sources verified that there is a detention camp for Chilean political prisoners within the colony. Colonia Dignidad was established in Chile in 1961 by German ex-Luftwaffe officer Paul Schaefer, S-H-E-A-E-F-F-E-R. He began his organization shortly after World War II in Holporf, Germany, then moved it to Seeburg, a town near Bonn, Holporf, H-O-L-P-O-R-F. Schaefer guaranteed the defeated German citizens both the spiritual and material needs they craved during these harsh post-war years. He also promised anonymity to those Germans who joined his group. This was a powerful lure for many of the SS men on the run from Allied investigators. They quickly joined Schaefer, and when he moved the entire organization from Germany to Chile in 1961, his SS membership was pleased, since South America was known to be a safe haven for unreconstructed Nazis. The reason for the move to Chile has never been verified, but it is thought that Schaefer was guaranteed complete independence for his colony by the Chilean government. In return, Schaefer's SS men were to train the Chilean secret police. During this same period, ex-SS officers and German military personnel were being hired by Argentina, Egypt, and many other countries for the same purpose. Whether or not Skorzeny had a hand in the Colonia Dignidad affair remains a secret. His other such activities elsewhere, however, suggest that he probably did help Schaefer set up the deal with the Chilean government. Last sentence again. Whether or not Skorzeny had a hand in the Colonia Dignidad affair remains a secret. His other such activities elsewhere, however, suggest that he probably did help Schaefer set up the deal with the Chilean government. According to one investigator, Charles A. Krause, K-R-A-U-S-E, it is not even permissible to take a photograph of the front gate of the enclave. Quote, I was threatened with arrest by police who finally took from me an undeveloped roll of film with pictures of Dignidad's entrance taken from outside its gates. The police, who wore no identification badges, would only say that they were from Parral, about 20 miles to the west, and that they were acting on orders from Santiago. Parral, by the way, is P-A-R-R-A-L. He did learn that the colony has its own airstrip, its own fleet of aircraft, and a private communication system. The elaborate communication system permits Schaefer and his colleagues to keep in radio contact with a, quote, mother house, unquote, in Seeburg, and with a mansion in Santiago that is filled with modern electronic communications equipment. The entire 15,000-acre enclave is enclosed by a high barbed wire fence, and citizens of the area say it is the place where, quote, nobody comes and nobody goes, unquote. The proximity of the Argentine border and the private airstrip and fleet of planes makes it easy for inhabitants of the colony to leave and return without any normal customs formalities. It makes an ideal secret hideout for Nazis on the run. Both the CIA and Simon Wiesenthal, the famed Nazi hunter, state they have evidence that such fugitives as Dr. Josef Mengele, the Third Reich's Angel of Death, have spent time at Colonia Dignidad. There is also evidence that Schaefer is in contact with pro-Nazi groups around the world, and that large amounts of money are sent to Colonia Dignidad each year by such groups. The saying that, quote, nobody comes and nobody goes, unquote, at Colonia Dignidad applies only to the regular members of the enclave, not the leaders. When called upon, the ex-SS men of the colony are not reluctant to go any place in the world to help their former SS and Nazi comrades. Now, note again that Operation Condor obviously is connected, as we've seen here, with Colonia Dignidad. Colonia Dignidad very closely connected not only to the worldwide SS underground, but also obviously to the Chilean government. And we're going to take a look now in greater detail at the functioning of Colonia Dignidad as a torture center for the Chilean secret police, the DINA. Next, we're going to turn to a book which we have relied on very heavily in the past. This book is entitled Death in Washington. It was co-authored by Donald Freed, F-R-E-E-D, and Fred Landis, L-A-N-D-I-S. It's about the murder of Orlando Letelier. And we're going to begin by taking a look at the activities of Michael Vernon Townley, one of the central figures involved in the assassination of Orlando Letelier, and we're going to take a look at his activities at Colonia Dignidad. Freed and Landis write of Colonia Dignidad and Townley's activities there as follows. Townley was in charge of organizing former members of his various fronts into special interrogation units. By the way, this was after the overthrow of Allende. Townley and Colonel Pedro Espinosa, together with members of the new DINA, were charged with liaison to a place called Colonia Dignidad, the, quote, beneficent and educational society of dignity, unquote, sprawls across thousands of acres in southern Chile. It is known as a, quote, model farm, unquote, operated by West Germans. No visitors are allowed to see the acreage under cultivation, the hospital, the small factory buildings, or the orphanage. The children are taught only German and English. Spanish is not used. The clothing of the adults is that worn in Germany in the early 1940s. Townley and Espinosa took part in the reorganization of Colonia to handle the flood of new political prisoners. Later, the United Nations investigation of torture in Chile, as well as a report from Amnesty International, would say that the torture center is, quote, in a specially equipped place underground. There are small, completely soundproof, hermetically sealed cells for prisoners. Leather hoods are placed over the prisoners' heads and stuck to their faces with chemical adhesives. In these cells, torturers allegedly carry out interrogations over a closed-circuit radio system, with the detainees naked and tied to their berths while electric shocks are applied. To one of the prisoners, a torturer made the statement that in the Colonia Dignidad, the, quote, work, unquote, of the Nazi concentration camp is continued. The implication is that this DINA center served as a grisly laboratory where experiments were conducted on prisoners not only for the sake of gathering information, but to perfect the, quote, science, unquote, of torture. The United Nations report from October of 1976 states, quote, in Colonia Dignidad, prisoners have allegedly been subjected to different, quote, experiments, unquote, without any interrogation, to dogs trained to commit sexual aggressions and destroy sexual organs of both sexes. Prisoners charge that torture is, quote, personalized, unquote, through an initial interrogation which establishes the personal traits of the individual. This data is then used to program the torture sessions so that the result is a totally debilitated, exhausted person who will comply with any demand. All this began in Germany with a home for boys. when the leader of the colony, Paul Schaefer, was accused of the criminal sexual abuse of children in 1960, the group moved to Chile. In their new home near the Argentine border, Colonia Dignidad soon enjoyed the support and protection of many of the country's most prominent business interests, many of whom had supported the Nazis as well as both the West German and American embassies. Amnesty International states further of Colonia Dignidad that, quote, "This repressive apparatus counts on and receives direct support from abroad, in particular from West Germany," unquote. Last sentence again. Amnesty International states further of Colonia Dignidad that, quote, "This repressive apparatus counts on and receives direct support from abroad, in particular from West Germany," unquote. By early 1974, Dina's Special Operations Contingent, of which Townley was a member, had transformed the Colonia into, quote, "a torture and detention center," unquote, to use Amnesty International's language. Finally, a Dina agent who worked with Townley at Colonia Dignidad's farm and at Dignidad's headquarters in Santiago broke under the strain and defected. And quoting from his deposition, quote, "My name is," and the name is left out, "passport number 4824557-9 Santiago. They sent me to Colonia Dignidad, some 40 kilometers inland from Parral. This is a training center for the National Secret Police. My teachers were Chilean, Brazilian, and an American identified to me as a representative of the Central Intelligence Agency named Welch." Welch, or quote, Welch, unquote, was Michael Townley Welch, as he called himself in Chile. Again, quoting from the deposition of the defector, "There is a radio station in Dignidad which allows a wide range of on contacts. It is the center where all reports of DINA operations in foreign countries are received, currently from Venezuela, Colombia, France, Sweden, and Italy. 50% of the DINA agents, military personnel, not civilians, work in these countries. I met Welch first at the radio station. There is a death squad in this country led by Captain Rolando Larena from the artillery and a man named Puga." Larena's L-A-R-E-N-A. Now note again that at least according to this defector, the center for DINA's operations is Colonia Dignidad. That would place the assassination of Orlando Letelier, conducted with the complicity of George Bush's CIA, in direct connection with this particular SS colony in Chile. Recall that this should come as no surprise when we took a look at the Republican Heritage Groups Council and the presence of many Third Reich and fascist alumni, including accused war criminals, on this particular group. This group was functioning as part of George Bush's 1988 election campaign. It is intact to this day. So these particular connections, and bear in mind the relationship of Operation Condor to the Internacional Fascista, to the depredations of the Carew group, we're going to come back to them, and bear in mind, again, the functions of Skorzeny's Paladin Mercenary Group in Spain in connection with Spanish and U.S. intelligence. Continuing in the account by the defector, first Freed and Landis interject, "The blood tide continued unabated. One international study says, quote, the body of Andreas Silva appeared without a head. The body of Daniel Menendez had its arms torn off. That of Ruben Vargas was without ears. That of Segundo Redrero, R-E-D-R-E-R-O, without one arm. That of Orlando Baprizier without hands and nose. That of Rosendo Robleda with one leg torn away at its root. Baprizier, B-A-P-R-I-Z-E-R, Reboleda, R-E-B-O-L-L-E-D-A. Every day," and Gunn and Frieden Landis go on to say, "every day, hideously mutilated and disfigured corpses floated down the canals and rivers and up onto the beaches." So apparently the work of the Third Reich was indeed being furthered at Colonia Dignidad, and bear in mind again the connections between Colonia Dignidad, the DINA, Internacional Fascista, the Paladin Mercenary Group, and elements of U.S. intelligence. What we're going to look at now concerns the functioning of George Bush as director of the CIA in helping to cover up the assassination of Orlando Letelier, one of the killings conducted by the Internacional Fascista and Operation Condor. Freed and Landis write, Except for FBI questioning of Mrs. Letelier and her fellows at the Institute for Policy Studies, there was no immediate investigation into the double assassination. None, because George Bush, director of the Central Intelligence Agency, had informed the Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation that there was no Chilean connection in this, quote, unprofessional, unquote, act of passion. And the CIA would know, of course, because it had reliable sources in both the junta and DINA, and to offer more than that by way of explanation would touch on most sensitive matters of, quote, national security, unquote. The last sentence again. And the CIA would know, of course, because it had reliable sources in both the junta and DINA, and to offer more than that by way of explanation would touch on most sensitive matters of, quote, national security, unquote. According to Andrew Young, Jimmy Carter believed that a faithful investigation would determine that both President Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King had died at the hands of a conspiracy. Carter was dealing with a shattered, rogue intelligence as he assumed office. The president-elect, according to Young, had complained, quote, "If they can do this, kill Letelier and get away with it, under the nose of the CIA and the FBI, then no president can govern. These are armed federal employees, and either we control them or they control us," unquote. Thus, Carter is said to have ordered a serious, far-reaching investigation. The problem was that Phillips, the AFIO, the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, and the Media PAC were able to call in enough favors so that the new president was not able to appoint a man of his own choice, Theodore Sorensen, director of the CIA, or, finally, impose any actual sanctions on Chile. Sorensen had known Letelier, and like others in the Kennedy circle, he saw in the Letelier case a golden opportunity to clean out the, quote, anti-democratic, unquote, forces in both the agency and the bureau, according to an associate. But Carter was not able to appoint a Kennedy man to be director of the agency. The agency was more powerful than the president. Last sentence again. The agency was more powerful than the president. Continuing, at the Department of Justice, J. Stanley Pottinger, P-O-T-T-I-N-G-E-R, and Michael Shaheen, S-H-A-H-E-E-N, were working overtime to blunt the charge that the Federal Bureau of Investigation might have murdered Dr. King and certainly had not investigated the crime. Thus, until a handful of independent investigators forced them to act in the Letelier case, the Justice Department left the field free for the AFIO-led disinformation steamroller. In 1977, when the Justice Department was forced to move, Attorney General Griffin Bell was driven to protest CIA interference to the White House, according to a Miami Herald investigator. A note here now, not only George Bush's role in helping to cover up the true facts concerning the assassination of Letelier, but also that Jimmy Carter had attempted to bring the rogue, quote-unquote, elements of U.S. intelligence under control, that he was unable to do so, that he felt that a faithful investigation of the John Kennedy and Martin Luther King assassinations would reveal that they died as a result of a conspiracy. That is certainly the case, but that ultimately Jimmy Carter himself was unable to control the intelligence system which nominally served him. And note the name of J. Stanley Pottinger and his role in frustrating, according to Fried and Landis anyway, his role in frustrating the investigation into the assassination of Martin Luther King. Continuing with Fried and Landis's account. Each increment of American involvement in the crime leads to the threshold question, what did George Bush and the CIA know, and when did they know it? On October 4, 1976, DCI Bush met with Eugene Proper and J. Stanley Pottinger and promised cooperation in exchange for FBI caution in any national security matters. Then, on November 8, Bush flew to Miami on the pretext of a, quote, walking tour of Little Havana, unquote. Actually, he met with the Miami FBI special agent in Charles, Julius Mattson, and the chief of the anti-Castro terrorism squad. According to a source close to the meeting, Bush warned the FBI against allowing the investigation to go any further than the lowest level Cubans. And note again, Bush with J. Stanley Pottinger. J. Stanley Pottinger was a good friend of George Bush. He also was involved in the Hashemi brothers' weapons deals, which many observers have felt was directly connected to the so-called October surprise, the apparent deal cut between the Reagan-Bush campaign and the Khomeini forces in Iran to withhold the U.S. hostages taken from the U.S. embassy in Tehran until after Jimmy Carter's humiliation and a consequent election defeat were ensured. And it may be completely irrelevant, but I would note in that regard that many observers of the October surprise or investigators have felt that a meeting in Spain, and specifically in Madrid, may very well have been a key element in the October surprise. Of course, the political significance of Madrid and the milieu that we're looking at has been delved into at considerable length in this broadcast. There may not be any connection between some of these residual fascist forces in Madrid and the October surprise, but it's a possibility, I think, that should be investigated and should not be too readily cast aside. Note also that at the time that J. Stanley Pottinger was involved with the Hashemi brothers, and also apparently at the time that he was helping to frustrate investigations, at least according to Fried and Landis, investigations into the assassination of Martin Luther King and Orlando Letelier, that he was also Gloria Steinem's lover. Steinem herself with a background in the CIA. We went into that, by the way, in the Miscellaneous Archive show called Gloria in Excelsis, the CIA, the Women's Movement, and the News Media. More about George Bush and his role in helping to cover up the assassination of Orlando Letelier. Also note, by the way, the importance of, quote, national security, unquote, in these affairs, because one of the things that we're going to be looking at as we move into the present is the corruption, the fundamental corruption of American institutions by the growth of the national security state and its involvement in highly illegal activities. And as we've seen, as the U.S. national security state has evolved, it was not only directly connected to the Galen organization per se, but beyond that, through that, it was involved with the so-called International Fascista, or the Fascist International, and was directly involved with an international fascist milieu as a result. Continuing with Fried and Landis's accounts of Bush's affair, Bush's role in covering up the Letelier assassination, they write, "As a Republican presidential candidate, George Bush touted his service as director of the CIA in 1976. He may soon find the experience to have been a liability. According to an investigative book on the assassination of Orlando Letelier, Bush, as head of the CIA, knew more about the assassination than he told federal investigators probing the case. In Assassination on Embassy Row, authors John Dinges, D-I-N-G-E-S, and Saul Landau say Bush and other CIA officials knew that the Chilean police had sent a team to Washington on a covert mission. But Bush withheld that information from investigators after the assassination while, quote, CIA sources, unquote, were quoted in major media as having concluded that the Chilean government was, quote, not involved, unquote, in the murder. The present study puts Bush in Miami involved in the actual cover-up, unquote. And still more about George Bush and his role in helping to obscure the facts concerning the Letelier assassination. By the way, bear in mind, too, the habit of the International Fascista, or the Fascist International, in masking their crimes of terror as acts by the left. By the way, bear in mind, too, that someone identified Carlos the Jackal as the killer of a Bolivian general, and that Muammar Gaddafi was involved in financing the Paladin mercenary group. Both Carlos the Jackal, the real Carlos the Jackal, and Muammar Gaddafi were the beneficiaries of the activities of the quote ex unquote CIA operatives Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple, whose activities were undertaken in 1976 while Bush was director of the CIA, and those activities were undertaken in conjunction with people like Theodore Shackley and Thomas Kleins, later key players in the Iran-Contra scandal. By the way, all, of course, Shackley and Kleins having evolved from the CIA's JM Wave station in Miami. More about Bush's role in helping to cover up the assassination of Letelier. When the left-wing cover stories were being laid down, George Bush, Vernon Walters, Henry Kissinger, Harry Schlaudeman, S-H-L-A-U-D-E-M-A-N, David Phillips, and their media assets all knew the truth, and Bush, Walters, and Kissinger at least had known in advance. Martyr Theory probed, that hollow headline will haunt American justice. Skipping down, What CIA's Psy War did to Chile goes on. In this tragedy without God today, people are starving for the first time in that nation's history, according to international inquiries and Christian Democrat sources who supported the coup. And at Colonia Dignidad, where Michael Townley led CIA torture teams using Gestapo tactics, entire families have been brought for torture after being kidnapped from neighboring Southern Cone countries. This is the CIA's SOCO program in action. That's S-O-C-O. That pretty obviously is a program for liquidating political opponents of some of the fascist regimes sponsored by elements of U.S. intelligence in that part of the world. Now, bear in mind, of course, that what we're looking at here is the functioning of George Bush in conjunction with this fascist milieu, this fascist international. And obviously we've seen direct connecting links between some of the residual fascist elements in Spain, in all probability the residua of the Nazi Party in exile that was first projected by Kurt Rees in 1944. And in 1961, we examined the book The New Germany and the Old Nazis by T.H. Tettens. We saw the fulfillment of Kurt Rees's projections. And in 1980, courtesy of Henrik Kruger, we saw the fulfillment, where we saw the intersection between Spanish intelligence, the Paladin Mercenary Group, U.S. intelligence, graduates of Goebbels' propaganda ministry, and we've seen them functioning in conjunction with the U.S. national security state, obviously elements of which are directly connected to this fascist international.